Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Jim Cruz.
Good for his age. He was just back there curling one of our worship people. No, I'm just kidding. You guys doing good tonight? Yeah, we want to welcome you to church. If you're tuning in online, it is great to have you guys joining us. And how many already been at the Kern County Fair? You already went out there, all right? Okay, how many still get your boots out and you put your Wranglers on to go out to the fair? Anybody? That was like old school, right? I don't see very many people dressing up like that. But I was out there on Friday with Pastor Ron and Debbie, and we had a good time and saw a lot of you guys. And I think I saw some of you running away from us. No. It always happens at the fair. The fair is kind of like a reunion place, right, where everyone sees each other. But yeah, I am excited to bring you the word tonight. I just really have been thinking and studying about this idea of love. And so if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And it's a short book of the Bible towards the end of the Bible, if you have old school Bible. And we're going to talk about it. And now, we're doing a series in Vegas, and for those of you that don't know, I'm the lead pastor of our Vegas campus. I go back and forth quite a bit, and we're doing this study based on this book written by an author named Bob Goff. And Bob wrote this book. It's been on the New York Times bestseller list. And really, this guy just has lived with all of these crazy ideas, and he's just done them because his motto in life is that let's stop talking about doing things and let's start doing them. And so he has all of these crazy, zany stories, and I encourage you, it's a great book to read and a very enjoyable, very funny book. But we're going to talk about love and using this big idea that love does. And I know Pastor Tom already prayed, but you know, we hear a lot about love within Christianity. And I would think, and I was talking to the Vegas church about this, I said, if you were to summarize Christianity in one word, I think it would be the word love. Because even Paul says when he's writing to the Corinthian church, he says, you know, you can know all about theology. You can know all about all kinds of different things. But if you don't have love, you have nothing. That's what he says. And so love is the central focus, really, of what it means to be a Christian. Now, we know that love is displayed in Jesus, and John's going to teach us this tonight. But see, some people come into Christianity and they don't understand love because maybe they've kind of followed a definition of love that is not necessarily a biblical definition, right? Because when we first remember somebody loving us besides our mom and dad, how many remember that first boy or girl that said to you, I love you, beside your mom or dad or grandparents? Remember that? Remember that moment where they said, hey, I love you, you know, and they wrote your name on their peachy folder? Come on, 80s people. How many remember the peachy folder? Okay. Now, I thought of this because I remember the first time somebody told me that they loved me. It was Jody in the fourth grade. I remember this girl's first name, but I don't know what her last name was. But I remember this because we all remember that moment in elementary school, and some of us, we remember writing a note like this. Others of us remember receiving a note like this. I don't know if you guys have that slide. How many remember writing a note and passing it to somebody that was like this, all right? Now that I'm older, you know, I wrote a note like that. I'm like, why did I give them the option, right? Why? Now, you are going to love me. But I remember writing one, and I put a box that said maybe. I don't know. I was just like, it's like maybe there's some hope still in maybe, I guess. And it's less rejecting to check maybe instead of no. But I remember this moment because, you know, all kinds of feelings are going through you, like this person's loving you, and you know, you look, you know, at their paper, and they're, you know, the girls are writing your last name with their first name. And, you know, in fourth grade, that like was kind of creepy, you know. How many girls did that when you were growing up? You wrote the boy's last name with your first, like, how does this look? Like, you're going to get married in fourth grade. Right? How many of you put the last name Stamos on your name, all right? Yeah, some of you still are, all right? But I look at this idea of love and this concept of love because, you know, we've let the world really define a lot of our words. And so when we start talking about love within the Bible, a lot of us, we subject our own biasness about what we think love is, when in actuality, the Bible does a really good job of describing what love is and telling us what love is, so there's no room to fill in the blank with our own definition of what we think love really is. So let's go to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to read a few verses, and we're just going to clarify, especially for those of you that may have a messed up view of love, maybe a broken view of love. We're going to define it for us right here. It says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from where? Love comes from God. And it says, anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God. For here it is, for God is what? For God is love." And here's a true story. I was meeting with a guy that attends our Las Vegas church, and he's going through all kinds of medical situations in his life, and he sat down with me, and he just needed me to pray for him and talked to him about something that was going on in his marriage because of his health issue. And he said, "Pastor, I had a near-death experience 2 weeks ago." And I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, I was getting this treatment and I flatlined and I was out for about 10 minutes. They resuscitated me. They got me back to life. But when I woke up, I had vivid memory of going out of my body and going up to heaven." I said, "This is incredible." I said, what was it like, man? What do you remember?" He said, "Oh, it was very vivid." And he said, "I will never forget this feeling. Matter of fact, the feeling was so intense, I didn't want to come back to the earth." And so what was that feeling? He said, "The best way and the only way I can describe it is love." And I said, "Well, what does that mean? Like, it felt love." He goes, "I don't know. Like, imagine the most euphoric feeling, like when you just knew you were loved and you felt love. And maybe it was a loving moment where you first became a Christian, or a loving moment when you were getting married, or a loving moment when that first baby or their second or any of your babies, you know, came out and there they were and you're holding the baby for the first time." He goes, "Just think of that moment where you felt love and then multiply it by a billion." And he goes, "That was how everything felt. It was just incredible that I didn't know, I didn't want to leave it." He said, "Jim," he goes, "it wasn't that in heaven there was a love feeling." He said, "Heaven was love itself." He goes, "That's what I came back remembering and just going, wow, there's no way I cannot feel that way on this earth." Why? Because in heaven, where God resides, if God is love, then obviously heaven is going to be full of love. Now, put that verse back up, guys, if you can, to verses 7 and 8, because I want to just point something out here, and it's so important for us to understand. It says, anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. Now, that word "knows God" is important for us to understand how this relationship or how this love relationship works with God. Because, you know, it's one thing to know about God, and it's another thing to know God. Do you know the difference? See, knowing about God, see, you can study someone, you could understand somebody, and you could just kind of like learn about them. I don't know if you go, you know, back in your history class and you studied all of this stuff, or maybe even like, say you watch Entertainment Tonight a lot and you see all these celebrities, or maybe you follow a musician, maybe you know follow celebrities on film, you know, actors or actresses or TV stars. And have you ever had that moment where maybe I hate to use the word idolize, but you really lift up this celebrity, but one day you got to meet him? Has that ever happened to any of you? That you got to meet a celebrity where you were just like, oh my goodness. Years ago, we were invited by this company to go and be audience fillers for the Sports Awards banquet down in Hollywood, California. And we were down there, and it was a sports award program. So all of the main sports stars in the 90s were all there. My wife was with me, and my good friend John and Marlo were there with us. We got all dressed up, and we were at this awards banquet. And so we were there in the audience, and before and after, we were just shaking hands with everybody. I got to shake hands with Muhammad Ali. I was like, well, are you kidding me? This is amazing. And, you know, we saw all these football stars and baseball stars. And I watched my friend John. He met Lisa Gibbons. And she was, how many remember she's Lisa Gibbons? So he's meeting Lisa Gibbons, and he forgets his wife's name, and he's introducing his wife to Lisa. And I'm like, oh, you are in trouble. You are so in trouble. And it was a moment. It's just a classic moment. And it's just like, wow, because see, when you know about someone, you have all these ideas in your mind, like how they are, who they are, but then you meet them and it's just like, well, they're just a regular person. They're here. They do the same things that we do. And there's nothing really special about them except they sing, or they're on TV, or they're on a movie. And you have this moment where a reality sets in that they're just like us. And see, in this moment of knowing about God and knowing God, there's two different things, because when you know about God, you're just like this far out God, he's just out there somewhere and he loves me, and I get that. But see, knowing about God and knowing God are two different things. Knowing God implies relationship. It implies that there is an active relationship going on. And see, I see in the church a brokenness, even with people that come to church a lot of times and they don't seem to be able to get their lives right, and they don't seem to be able to get the traction in their life to get their life moving towards God, and it's struggle after struggle after struggle. And say, how can somebody that comes to church or even attempts to read the Bible and attempts to maybe do the right things continue to struggle? Because, you know, it's not about belief, it's about relationship. And I think the church today is in a funk, not because of a belief issue, it's because it's a relationship issue. If you want to get your life right, you're not going to find it in belief, you're going to find it in relationship with God. And he wants that relationship. Now, in the Greek, the word there is gnosko. It's an important Greek word. And the ancient root of this word actually goes all the way back to the beginning of our Bibles. In Genesis, it says that when God saw that man was by himself, he said it wasn't good. And so he created a helper. He created Eve, and they got together and they became one flesh. And it says then Adam knew Eve. He knew her. And the implication there is that they had, you know, a very intimate relationship together, and they created babies and they started multiplying the earth. So it was interesting that the Bible uses the word know to describe intimacy. And it's important for us to understand, because see, when God is talking about love and talking about knowing him, he's assuming, and John's assuming here, that you know that you have an intimate relationship with God simply by how you love him back and how you're loving other human beings. That you can know how you're doing in your intimacy with God and how you're dealing with your fellow mankind. How you treated that Taco Bell worker today. How you talked to your wife or your husband today. How you addressed your kids today. How you talked to your coworkers today. How you maybe have dealt with your parents today. See, the relationship with others is an indication of your intimacy with God. The more intimate you are with God, the better relationships you're going to have in your life. That's what John's saying here. It's an important word. And see, the implication is when you know God, I mean, everything changes. Knowing God is he's not just as far off God. Like, you can come close to him and you have that closeness with him. There's a picture that was very famous in the 60s. And I have a picture of it here with President Kennedy. And he's in the Oval Office. And of course, you know, President Kennedy had some major crises that he was, you know, trying to navigate through. And I'm sure this room was full of a lot of dignitaries, a lot of world leaders. But here we have his son, JFK Jr., hanging out in the Oval Office. Now, what I want you to see here is, see, to JFK Jr., this wasn't President Kennedy. This was Daddy. This is my dad. This isn't the president in this Oval Office, like, oh, you know, like our supreme leader, we're leader of the free world. No, he only knew him in one capacity, and that is Daddy. That's why Jesus says, hey, when you come before God, you address God as Abba, Father. And that word Abba, I love it because it implies Daddy. Like, God wants to be so intimate with us that he just loves us. And he just wants us to be in his presence. I was talking to one of my friends here at this church, and he was talking about his relationship with his dad. And he's my age. He's in his 40s. And he goes, Jim, he goes, my dad is such a funny guy. He just loves me. And you know, here I am, I'm a 40-year-old guy, but my dad, man, he, every time he sees me, he goes, come over here, Junior, and he tells me to sit on his lap. And that was cool when I was like 5, but I'm like, Dad, I'm 40 now. And he's like, I don't care, because you're always going to be my boy. And so he goes, I get on my dad's lap just like he's told me to, you know, just like, all right, this is awkward, but all right, Dad. But it's like our Heavenly Father wants a kind of relationship with us where we hang out with him, where we just get to sit on his lap and he just lets us in on the secrets of heaven, and he just lets us in on the secrets of life, and he just wants to be with us. That's why in the book of Hebrews, the author says, come boldly before the throne of grace. See, a lot of us, we have this misconception of God that he's out to get us, when in reality, God is wanting us to be in relationship with him. You know that song that they just sang, your love is relentless? That means that God's love never gives up on you. It never gives up on you. I don't care what you've done. His love is relentless towards you, and he wants you to come. He knows you've messed up. I mean, think about your own kids, those of you that are parents. Your kid messes up. Oh, Mom, Dad, I messed up. Well, come here and give me a hug, and I know you can do better next time. I mean, that is the kind of loving Heavenly Father we have, that's not ready to kill you. He's ready to embrace you and hug you and take you in to be a son, to be his daughter. That's the kind of God that we have. And we see this on display with the life of Jesus. In Colossians, it says that he is the visible image of the invisible God. In Hebrews, it says he is the radiance of God's glory. So if you want to know what God is like, you just look at Jesus. You look at his life. You look at his passions. You look at how he loved people. And that is how our God loves us. Now, you've got to understand, God is love. And his love wants to bring us close, and his love wants to know us, that gnosko kind of love where we get close to God. It's important. And why does God really want, or I should say, why does God bring us into salvation? I love this, and I never saw this until I really started studying love. See, I think, and I've thought in years past, that salvation is all about eternal life. In other words, salvation is all about me going to heaven. Salvation is all about, you know, me receiving Jesus so that I can go to heaven someday. But in John chapter 17, Jesus is praying, and he's praying, and the disciples are hearing it, and they record the prayer. And in John chapter 17, it says this, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. This is the eternal life, that you may know. It's the same word there. See, I've always thought salvation is about eternal life, and eternal life's about heaven, but eternal life is for one purpose, for you to be able to be intimate with God. That God wants to be in relationship with you, and Jesus Christ coming to this earth is about you getting to heaven and about heaven getting into you so that you could be in a relationship and know God. That's what it's all about, church. Don't let your preconceived ideas of love mess with your head about the love of God, because the love of God is completely different than anything that you know or maybe even have thought about before. I like this verse in Hosea, because a lot of our problems that we're having in our life are really out of a side effect of us not being close to God. There's things that God wants to pour into you to save you a lot of headache and heartache in your life. In other words, when we are separate from God, we make some dodo decisions in our life, right? I don't care how many initials you have behind your name on your nameplate at work, you're still a dodo. I mean, you can be you can be a rocket scientist and not know how to have a good marriage because you don't know how to talk to your wife. I don't care how many degrees you have behind your name. And so it's like, why? What is this? What is this problem? Listen to what Hosea says about our problem here. It says, my people are being destroyed because they don't know me. That as you get close to God, as you build that relationship with God, as he floods you with love, then you start making better, wiser choices and decisions with every aspect of your life. And some of you, that's why you came to church tonight. Some of you, that's why you're tuning in tonight. Because God says, you're a lousy decision maker. You need help. Touch your neighbor and say, you need a lot of help. We all do. And God's like, the way you're going to get help is by knowing me and me being able to whisper into you the knowledge of heaven over your life. How many will admit you need more knowledge of heaven for your life? Oh yeah, for your marriage, for your parenting, for your life. You need more of that knowledge of heaven. And God is there to be able to give that to you every single day that you live. Now let's look at verses 9 through 11. First John chapter 4, it says, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world, so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us. And his love is brought to full expression in us. Let me break this down, because as you look at this idea that God so loved us that we ought to love one another, the New American Standard says, but beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. It reminded me of another scripture in John chapter 3, verse 16. It's a very famous passage. We talk about this quite a bit, but it bears repeating. Again, it says, for God, what? So loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It didn't say for God loved the world. It says for God so loved the world. I love that. Have you ever eaten somewhere at a restaurant or maybe tasted something, maybe at the grocery store, and you're just like, that is good. And somebody's like, hey, did you really like that? Was that good? And have you ever had somebody go, no, that wasn't good, that was so good? There's this a coffee place in Vegas, and my wife and her friend had a get together there, and these girls were just having coffee, and then they got these little lemon bars at this place in Vegas called Samba Latte, and they were just eating these lemon bars, and Tara came home. She's like, oh man, you know, I'm not a big coffee fan, but man, those lemon bars were out of this world. I go, man, were they good? She goes, no, they were so good. She was so like fired up on these lemon bars that she goes, well, I got it. Like, you've got to taste one. So we went back to Samba Latte and we went to go get these lemon bars and they were sold out. She goes, I told you they were so good. Like, they're gone. They're like gone. And I went back a couple times and I cannot find lemon bars. They keep gobbling them up. Not because they're good, because they're so good. So what I want to tell you is that the love that God has for you, it's not for God loved the world. It says for God so loved the world. Like, it's like God's love is like that much higher and that much deeper and that much greater than any love that you could ever have in this world. He so loved this world that he gave his only begotten son. Don't ever forget that God so loved you. And it's a love higher, deeper, and greater than any love that you've ever or ever could be loved by any human being whatsoever. Now, if Jesus is our example of what love means, I just think about Jesus's life for a minute. And I know Pastor Ron did a study here recently about following the footsteps of Jesus, but just think about Jesus's life, like how he manifested love in his own life. If you really want to know what God's love is like, you look at Jesus, and John is saying, look what he did. He sacrificed himself. So Jesus' love is different than any other kind of love that you've ever been introduced to. See, worldly love is self-centered, right? Worldly love is about what you're doing for me. Worldly love is conditional. It's like, I will love you as long as you love me back. So worldly love and Jesus' love, they look totally different from each other. So Jesus' love isn't conditional. Jesus' love is unconditional. Jesus' love is, I'm going to love you even if you don't love me back. Matter of fact, Jesus even said, he goes, what is it that you know, if you love people that already love you? He goes, the world does that. He says, my kind of love, God love, is so great and so deep that it will love even people that don't love me back. That's how powerful that Jesus' love is. It's unconditional. It's selfless. Jesus' love is always looking on how it can raise somebody up, even if it means the sacrifice of self in the process of raising somebody else up. That's Jesus' love. Worldly love isn't like that. Worldly love is about propping self up, even if it has to step on you to prop itself up. That's worldly love. Jesus' love is totally different. It's selfless. It's sacrificial. It's about serving other people. Jesus' love is about looking for ways that it can help somebody else out that is having a hard time. Amen. It's a servant-focused ideology. How can I help this person? Even if it means I have to get my hands dirty, even if it means it will cost me time, even if it means it might cost me some energy, how can I help this person? And so John is connecting God's love to Jesus because Jesus manifests God's love the best. If you want to know how you're doing in this category of love, compare yourself to how Jesus loved. I mean, is your love towards other human beings selfless? Meaning that you are completely trying to boost somebody up, even if it means you get stepped on in the process. Is it sacrificial? Is it centered on serving somebody else? Is it unconditional? I mean, that is how you can judge how you're doing on this love. Now, as you're intimate with God, you know, having Jesus love in your own life is going to be a natural byproduct of that. And this is what John is trying to get to. But I like what 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 says in the Message. It says, anyone who claims to be intimate with God ought to live the same kind of life Jesus lived. That's what he's saying. Anyone that claims to be intimate with God ought to live the same kind of life that Jesus lived. Now, you're not going to live it perfectly, but you ought to see your life moving more towards that. So in other words, if you're a person that you have a propensity to be angry all the time or mad all the time, and it's really difficult for you to love people many times, you should see yourself slowly changing and becoming more loving. You should see yourself becoming easier to forgive people than you used to. and easier to accept people back in that maybe have hurt you. You should see this transition going along in your life. Why? Because Jesus's love is transforming you by your intimacy with him. And that's how it happens. And that's how God intended it to happen. It's not about you trying to love people harder. It's about you becoming more intimate with God, and the love of God is going to come out of you naturally. It's not something that you're going to have to work harder to do. It's just going to come right out of you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. I think I have that scripture. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. So as you are with the Holy Spirit, then what's going to happen is that love demonstrated in other human beings around you, then you're going to fully express God's love by how you love other people. But this love is supernatural. Jesus' love isn't going to hit you because you're trying hard, and Jesus' love isn't going to hit you because like you're spending a lot of time in prayer. Jesus' love is going to hit you because you have been born again. You have the Spirit of God living inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit helping you to love people the same way that God loves you. And we all need that help because we have a lot of unlovable people in this world. But you're going to show the full expression of God's love by getting filled with the Spirit and letting the Spirit of God inside of you love people in ways that you can't love on your own strength, on your own power. You need the power of the Holy Spirit enabling you to be able to love this kind of way. Does that make sense? Now, in the Old Testament, they had this phenomenon happen to the Israelites, and the Israelites were really struggling in their relationship with God. They didn't know really how to follow God, and so God made it really easy for them. He said, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a cloud that is going to go with you during the day and help guide you to where I want you to go. Now, the clouds some days are going to, it's going to stop, and that means I want you to stop. Some days the cloud's going to go forward, and I want you to go forward. So in other words, stay under the cloud. And you go right where the cloud is going. That's how you'll know how to stay right with me, is you're going to stay with my Spirit. My Spirit is going to form in this cloud and just stay under the cloud. Now, at nighttime, they couldn't see the cloud, so he said, I'll send a fire. So I don't know how that looked, if the fire was in the cloud, and it looked this really cool phenomenon, but he gave the fire by night because that way they could see whether the presence of God was over them or not. But the commandment was, you stay under the covering of God. And God is going to lead you right where you need to be. And there's no difference between then and what God has set up with us now with this Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit, instead of having this covering over us, we have a covering in us. And God says, every day, I want you to be obedient to that covering that's inside of you. And you do whatever the Spirit is telling you to do. If the Spirit is telling you to stay, you stay. If the Spirit is telling you to go, you go. If the Spirit is telling you to go right, you go right. So you follow the covering of God for your life so that you can continue in my love. And if you do that, then loving other people is not going to be as difficult because you're going to be loving them supernaturally through the power of God living inside of you. Does that make sense? Now get to real practical terms here. There's some people that really hurt you, and you don't want to love them. Matter of fact, you want to maybe get vengeance on them. I've had people hurt me too. I mean, pastors aren't immune to that. But here's the reality. God's love living inside of you through his Spirit living in you, that Spirit of God is love. So you're not going to be able to continue moving in that hatred and that anger and that unforgiveness that the Spirit of God is living in you. That love is just going to start like a good infection. It's going to start taking over everything as long as you're continuing to fill yourself up with that Spirit. Every day you're waking up saying, God, fill me with your Spirit. God, fill me with your Spirit. And the more filled up with the Spirit, the more loving you're going to be because the Spirit is love. And it's going to be easier to forgive those people that have hurt you. I think in some cases, I should have a PhD in forgiveness over some people. Because there's some people, I don't know if you've had people in your life, there's some people that have hurt me over and over and over again. Come on, somebody. And I found myself in a, hey, I forgive you. And I come back again. You know what? I forgive you again. You know what? I know. This is how I broke a record. I'm going to forgive you again. I don't care how many times you hurt me. I've got more forgiveness in me than you got hurt in you. Come on. Not because of me, but because of the God that lives in me through his Spirit. We are to become the full expression of the love of God because of his Spirit living in us. In other words, the covering of God over your life, in your life, ought to be just broadcasting to the rest of the world who God is. And he's love. I have a tweetable moment. You guys, some of you that follow me on Facebook or Twitter already saw this, but if you want to become a better lover, let the Holy Spirit be your cover. Come on, that's good. That's good. Come on, where are my rapper guys at? Come on, that's good. That's good right here. Come on. That's a VBF rap song right there. Come on. If you want to become a better lover, let the Holy Spirit be your cover. It's not a matter of you trying harder. It's not a matter of you trying to get the anger and the hatred out of your life. It's a matter of you being intimate with God, getting filled with the Spirit, and you will become a better lover because he is love. That's it. I know as we wrap things up tonight, and I should have gave you guys a warning that we're going to end early tonight. I don't know if in the back you might want to warn the kids program that I'm going to release you tonight. But since we do have a few extra minutes, I want to do something different tonight. You guys are the midweek crowd. You're the radical Christians of Bakersfield right here. Okay, you want all that God has to offer you. You want it all. So we're gonna do something, and I don't know, maybe sound guys, you can throw some worship music on, but what I want you to do is, if maybe you just feel like, man, there's just been a brokenness inside of you, maybe a hurt relationship, maybe just somebody that has damaged you, and you just feel so broken and hurt, and it just so, as much as you want to forgive them, it's just so difficult for you to forgive them. I want us to do something different tonight. If you're having a hard time really loving people, and maybe it's because you're not born again, maybe it's just because you've been far from God, whatever the case might be, or maybe they're just a really difficult person, I want you to come on up here and stand up here with me, okay? Let's just do something different. So if you're saying, you know what, man, I've been struggling in this area, I just come up here and stand with me. I want to pray a special prayer tonight of love, that God would pour out his love on us in a powerful way. Just come up here and stand right here with me, you guys. Just stand right here. Just stand up here with me, okay? Because, you know, we're always talking about wanting to change the world. We're always talking about wanting to change our city. But our city isn't going to be changed by how much theology you know. Our city isn't going to be changed by you know, how many memory verses that you can quote. Our city is going to be changed when people that you work with, family members that you live with, begin seeing a transformative love inside of you that is powerful. That's what we're talking about here tonight. And some of you, you've been far from God. But I'm going to pray a covering over your life and in your life tonight, that you're going to walk, you're going to live with a whole new level of love. Not just love, we're going to start living with so love. You know what I'm talking about. We're going to start living with so love. I just want you to just stretch your hand out, maybe put it on the shoulder of somebody that's up here with you. Just put your hand on their shoulder. Father, right now, we pray, as we stand up here tonight in your presence, we want to know you, God. Not about you, God. We want to know you, Lord. We want that intimacy to fall on us, God, that is more powerful and more real than any hurt that has ever been given to us in our life. God, let your love, your so love, God, just saturate every fiber of our being, every cell of our bodies, so that, God, when we leave this place, God, we will know, Lord, that we came in to your throne room, and God, we got to sit on your lap, God, and that in that, God, in that moment, Lord, you poured over us and you poured into us a love that is a full expression of who you are, God. I pray, Father, for each and every man and woman and even young person that came up here tonight, God. Our world is going to be changed, God, not by what we know, God, but by who we know, Lord. God, our world is going to be changed by you giving us full expression of who you are and how we love other people. But God, it starts with us fully enveloped in the love that you have for us. And God, there's some people that are standing up here. They've never felt the love of God. Oh, Holy Spirit, right now I pray that you would come in a powerful way and that you would sweep across this auditorium and that you would let these people feel the fullness of your love for their life, God, that you laid down your life, that you gave up your life, and you said, I would rather die than to be lost for eternity without my son and without my daughter. God, let them feel your love, God. Let them feel your love, Jesus. Yeah, full expression of who you are, God. And I pray a heart of forgiveness tonight towards moms and dads that have been abusive. I pray a heart of forgiveness towards husbands and wives that have been violent towards us. I pray forgiveness over children that have turned their backs on us. God, we pray, God, for a new heart towards those people that have rejected us and have left us, God. Lord, we pray that we could love those people not because we have the capacity to love like that, Lord, because you have the capacity to love like that, and we need you to love them through us, God, by being filled with your Spirit. God, fill us with your Spirit, God. Fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your love, God, tonight. And we make a declaration to you, Lord, that we are going to stand in this place, in this position, and get to know you more and more and more so we can love people more and more and more and more and more. In Jesus' name. If you're not right with God.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King, give us our love, give us our